His is the story of rock and roll. Flamboyant as they come, Andrew Loog Oldham was the first manager of the Rolling Stones. He created their bad boy image, produced some of their first big hits, and started Britain's first independent record label. Then he flamed out on drugs. Now Oldham has emerged a world away in South America, where he's found a new life managing rock and rollers in Espanol.
The ratones paranoicos, the paranoid mice, may be from Argentina, but their sound is all bluesy rock. Like the song No Llores, or Don't Cry, which is hard-driving and classic, a song produced and written in part by the legendary Andrew Loog Oldham. Today, he still looks the part of a rock impresario. Oldham's thin and gangly with a bit of the kink in his long hair. And at 66, he says that working with the Ratones Paranoicos has not only brought back the memories, but energized him in this latest stage in life.
Because basically, they're like the Rolling Stones. All I had to do was upgrade technically, and I fell in love with them immediately. They took great care of me.
His latest project has been with a young Colombian singer, Juan Galeano, who just put out Peregrino, or Pilgrim. La vida que llevo no me da
para poder compartir tu realidad. He writes, he reads, he plays every instrument on it except the drums, and he plays some of the bass on it. So he's doing all the vocal parts, he wrote the string parts, he wrote the horn parts, and the songs are just great.
But Oldham is never far from his past, as fans of satellite radio in the U.S. know. That's where he's heard daily, hosting Underground Garage from his home here in the Colombian capital.
Anyway, Andrew Loog Oldham here. More than happy to be apart from the general malaise by being here with you once again on Mr. Stephen Van Zandt's Underground Garage.
Holding forth on rock history, some of which he helped shape.
And take something that was both a single for the Rolling Stones and I, and on their sixth album, Aftermath, Paint It Black. Here it is.
My mother, if she was alive, would be very pleased because it's the first time in my whole life I've had a regular job. She really would be thrilled. I mean, this is the woman who, in 1965, when I had a Rolls Royce and five other cars, and I took her for a ride in the Rolls Royce, still turned around to me and said, "Yes, Andy, but when are you going to get a regular job?"
The job that made him famous began at age 19. That was in 1963 when Oldham first heard the Stones in a London club. Oldham done some publicity for the Beatles. Now, with the Stones, the new manager opted for an entirely different look, entirely different behavior. It was Oldham who fed reporters the now famous line, "Would you let your daughter marry a Rolling Stone?" The Stones courted controversy with everything they did, from their gyrating performances to their bad manners in elegant restaurants. Under Oldham, Mick Jagger would become a sexually supercharged performer, and the lyrics Oldham produced, like those to Satisfaction, would push the envelope in a way that had never been seen in rock music. Mick Jagger and Keith Richards would be no lovable mop tops, and they wouldn't sing about wanting to hold your hand. Mark Kemp is an American rock journalist, and he couldn't stress enough Oldham's importance to the group's success.
The Rolling Stones had a dirtier sound than the Beatles, and they were kind of provided that alternative for kids who wanted that kind of bad boy image and that bad boy sound.
Oldham also lived the part. He now says he almost died from drug use three times. He broke with the Stones in 1967, and he went on to manage other bands, though, as Oldham puts it, he was out to lunch until the 90s, hooked on drugs. Redemption came in Colombia, where he'd moved following his wife, Esther Farfán, a Colombian actress and model.
And not only fell in love with her, but I fell in love with the country. I couldn't stand the idea of staying in England and becoming a relic.
Colombia is a country with a rich musical tradition. Oldham, in his characteristic straightforward way, says most of it bores him. But there are rockers here and in Argentina, like the Ratones Paranoicos.
I got the sand, pidió monedas y se fue.
At a rock concert in Buenos Aires, you can feel the energy, even the similarity to the Stones. Not just their frenetic frontman, Juanse, but the style of music, perhaps not surprising for a group that worshipped the Stones and studied the American blues that inspired Jagger and Richards. Pablo Meni is the bassist, and backstage after the concert, he says Los Ratones and Oldham speak the same language, rock and roll. Since 1989, says Meni, the collaboration has churned out 5 albums.
He's working with a legend. We knew all his works before with the Rolling Stones. We knew a lot about him. We never imagined working with Andrew before.
Oldham's got other projects, trying to publish his 3rd book on life as a rock impresario. And then there's the HBO series he's developing with Lou Adler, himself a famous rock producer. The pilot they're working on is a fictionalized series on the Stones and Oldham. But mainly, as it's always been, it's still about the music. Like Cara Verde, Green Face, in which Juanse sings about the Antichrist here, the Antichrist there, and what the Ratones call the boring sameness of life. For Oldham, it's anything but.
You could say that it's the wrong time to be investing in making records. But then again, I couldn't resist the songs. It's as simple as that.
Juan Ferrero, NPR News.